Okay, my name's Tamara McClanahan, and I have a blog called Eros Agendas on Facebook and WordPress, and I also post as Icing Death on Twitter, and I'll share those links with you later, but right now I'd like to welcome my guest this evening, Mr. Lucas Black. Lucas writes erotica, and he has a series called Josiah's Love and Justice. Volumes 1 and 2 are out now. Volume 3 is just on the horizon. And if you haven't had the opportunity to check out the series, I would highly recommend it. It's definitely for adults. It's not for kiddies under 18. It is heavily laden with BDSM, very realistic in nature, but that is Lucas's strong suit. As a real-life dom most of his life, he brings a strong realism to his writings. He also has three standalone books, The Legacy, which is a personal favorite of mine, Blind Date, and his recent release, Punishment. And you can find all of his titles on Amazon. Legacy, Blind Date, and Punishment are only 99 cents each. So that is a good way to check out his writing style, which I just adore. So without further ado, the man we all want to hear from, Mr. Lucas Black, and he has a sexy Texas drawl. So
well, hello there.
Especially prepared, you ladies. Thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And congratulations on your success with Josiah Love and Justice, your books 1 and 2. Also, Legacy, Blind Date, and Punishment. So, welcome to Eros Agendas, and I'll be gentle.
All right. Well, so, thank you, Tammy.
Thank you. So, how are you this evening?
Oh, I could complain, but a billion red Chinese don't care, and I learned not to argue with them a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me.
That's quite all right. So, we probably shouldn't mention our beverage of choice. So, I'll just start asking you some questions, and just answer however it suits you. When you were growing up, what authors would you say influenced you the most?
As a kid, one of my favorite books as a kid was The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Good classic from Mark Twain.
Sure.
When I was about 13 or so, I really got turned on to Stephen King in a really huge way. And I mean, by this point of the game, I've read damn near every word the man's ever written. Later on, I became a fan of Dean Koontz, a big fan of Webb Griffin, of Vince Flynn, of Tom Clancy, and in later times, Jacqueline Carey. I don't know if you've ever read her, any of her writing, but she's magnificent writer and wrote a series called the Cushiel series. It started with Cushiel's Dart. And I guess that kind of opened the door to, hey, I could write this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you think they inspired you to begin writing? That's when you first started thinking about actively writing?
I always played around with it even as a kid. I mean, back in those halcyon days, there were no computers or word processors, So I would just write stuff longhand in a spiral notebook, and thank God those didn't survive until today, because there were...
You don't have any of them left?
That's
a shame.
They were early ventures, and yeah, they're gone.
Aw, that's a shame, though. I like going back and looking at what I wrote, 10, 20, 30 years ago. It's interesting to see what my mindset.
I didn't say I don't remember it.
you do. You have a very good memory. You memorized a poem, which I will not make you recite, but it was very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if you couldn't, it seemed like you had a lot of inspiration from kind of the horror and mystery and suspense novels. If you, and this would be an absolute shame, but if you couldn't write in erotica anymore, what genre do you think that you might try to explore?
I don't know. In some ways, you know, the testosterone and gunpowder men's fiction would be fun. It's certainly a genre that I like reading. But honest to Pete, in some ways, I'd like to try my hand at comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've certainly seen on my Facebook wall, I'm one of the more irreverent sorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love cracking jokes and, telling those believable stories right up to the point where I set the hook.
You've gotten me a couple of times, yeah. Not just me. You've had some condolences posted on your wall.
I learned a long time ago, never take life too seriously because it's going to be there one way or the other and might as well laugh. So.
Well. No, you have a very keen wit. So I think I've compared you with Will Rogers from time to time. So, I appreciate that, and I think you do very well.
I've called myself a redneck raconteur more than once.
All right. Well, I have read everything with Josiah. I am waiting patiently for number 3, which I understand will be coming out in the near future.
July 14th. Next week, next Thursday.
Wow, that's pretty fast. So you have such a nice writing style, and you seem very proficient at it. You know, a lot of writers go through this angsty. You know, they have to really sweat. They get writer's block. They have a lot of problems. But you seem to be able to express yourself very eloquently, and you've had a series. Your 3 standalones have come out in fairly good succession. So did you have an idea about, I'm going way off questions with these, but it's just occurring to me, so we'll go with it. did you have these in the back of your mind, or are these, you know, Legacy, Blind Date, and Punishment, are these fairly new ideas that you came up with for books?
Most of them just sprung up unbidden in my mind, and I started typing. You know, there certainly are elements here and there that I think have been kicking around in some little file room at the back of my head that, you know, suddenly, you know, come up to the fore.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they just rise up in my mind, and I get to writing.
Well, that was another question I had. You know, some people, there's 2 schools of thought. There's the authors who plot everything to the minutia, and they have to have their characters' backgrounds, and they have to have like a canon book written for them. And then there are others who just kind of brainstorm, and the story flows out. So it sounds like, you know, you're more of an actively sit down, see what types out of your fingers kind of person, or do you do both?
To be honest, nobody is more surprised than I am. I just sit down there at the computer and the muses tell me their tale, and they start sinking teeth in my ass until it's written. So there's been many a time I pretty much think that I'm pretty much just their secretary rather than writing this stuff on my own. I don't know where it comes from.
Well, you know, it's strange that you say that, because I've written something recently, and I felt like I was transcribing it more than I was in control of writing it. And there were times when I was tired and I wanted them to be quiet, but they wouldn't be quiet. I just couldn't rest until I got what they were saying out. They're most persistent sometimes. So anyway.
They've kept me awake until sunup more than once.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. So you've got Josiah, you've got the 2 books, you've got the 3rd one coming out soon, and I understand originally it was planned as a 5-book series. Do you still see that as 2 more books after this?
Yes.
Okay.
two more after this. Josiah 4 is ready to go to the beta. In fact, I think the beta readers already have Josiah 4.
Oh, good.
Well, you know, they go through it and they find all the little typos and stuff, so I don't look like a moron when it gets published. You know, typos hide best from their creators.
This is true. I've beta read myself, so yeah.
They hide very well from me, and fortunately, there aren't very many of them. You know, I mean, when I hand it off to the betas, I pretty much have about 98% of a complete product, but there's always that 10 or 12 little niggling, they instead of them, or, you know, a mm-hmm. instead of at, you know, things that spell check doesn't pick up, and
right.
You know, like I said, that they camouflage themselves quite well. So the betas have just been great for picking those things out and, you know, before they wind up in general readers' hands.
Yeah, well, spell check works nicely, you know, with as long as there's not an alternate spelling for something, and it doesn't do much sometimes for syntax. So you do, and you live the characters, and you've read these same lines over and over again. So yeah, I can see it be quite easy to maybe miss a little something here or there. So, do you?
But by the time the betas have it, I've probably been over this thing 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's one hell of a lot of reading. I mean, the parent manuscript of the Josiah series is nearly 400,000 words.
Yeah, I saw you'd said that somewhere before, so.
You know, which is, I mean, in a 6x9 paperback of 12-point type, I mean, right now it's sitting right around 1,400 pages.
Yeah.
So it's a huge body of work, and I'm just kind of astounded that I actually wrote the thing.
Well, we are certainly glad that you did, because... if you look at the reviews, you have an overwhelming number of 5 stars. So it is. It's beautifully written. So do you foresee any other multi-book works in the future? Would you write something to the length and breadth of Josiah again?
I have no idea. Again, I mean, I tell the story the muses present to me. There might be another magnum opus right around the corner. I mean, it's kind of funny, and I've told people this story before. When I started Josiah, I thought I would have a 40,000-word novella, and all of a sudden the muses came along, hosed it down on steroids, and said, "Guess again, Bubba."
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly it's, you know, 10 times that length. So I just don't know. I mean, I'm writing one that... I don't know if it's going to be one book or two.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it really is dependent on the word count, because really, realistically, after I start crossing 120,000 words, I got to start thinking about breaking it into two books.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you just write down, you go with the flow of the book, and then you, yeah, and then you worry about how it's presented later, but the important thing is to get the words down. I have to interject something too here,
sure.
because you said magnum opus, and that just threw me back decades. We had a model rocketry club, and that was the name of our newsletter. We thought we were so cool to come up with magnum opus, as you know, half the people didn't even know what we meant. But but anyway, so. So, yeah, so interesting. So you don't know, it just kind of, you're going to play it by ear and see what the future brings.
I'll tell tales as long as the muses sing to me, and that's really about all I know to say there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got probably 12 or 15 open works in progress at various stages of the game, and it's just, you know, I'll open up the computer and see what tale the muses tell me. So it's, I mean, I've got a whole bunch in the works, and I think there will be several offerings in 2017 and 2018 to come, and hopefully 2019 and beyond. We'll just have to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see a lot of bright things in your future, so I'm psychic. So, but now your standalone books, The Legacy, I've said, you know, I've shouted to the rafters that it's one of my favorites of yours, although there really isn't any one that I can single out that I don't love, but Legacy particularly struck me. So I understand that you may be considering expanding that in the future.
You've actually begun that project. You know, when I wrote Legacy, I wrote it in 2014, and it was published in an anthology with several other writers that has since been unpublished. But part of the agreement when we did the anthology was everybody retained the rights to their work and could republish at will.
Mm-hmm.
So I dusted it off, I cleaned it up in a couple of spots, and republished it. The story, for whatever the reason, really resonated with a number of readers, and you know, there was some tear-jerking in it, and I think that's probably a needed element to jerk some tears before you have a happily ever after that comes in there.
Sure.
But it had dawned on me, even as I was writing it, that it would be the very good in media res of a bigger story.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kicked it around in my head, you know, well, Christ, for 2 years now. Decided it would make the very good kernel of a bigger story, where Legacy is you know, the midpoint, indeed the in media res of it, where we start with, you know, what led up to the events of Legacy, and then what followed those events.
Mm-hmm. Well, there does seem to be quite a lot of action in Legacy that happens prior to when it actually starts. So I would, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that you could explore.
There is, and it's in a way, I guess I kind of feel like Tom Clancy. You know, he wrote The Hunt for Red October, you know, got it out there, published, and it was well received, and then he wrote or published a prequel to it called Patriot Games.
Mm-hmm.
That, a lot of things were hinted about in Red October that then became clear to you in Patriot Games of, you know, how Jack Ryan got to be where he was. And I guess that's, you know, kind of where I'm going with this is, you know, okay, Legacy's out there. Well, how did Jim Ford get to this place?
Mm-hmm.
And then where did Jim Ford go beyond this?
Right.
So we're going to have to see where it goes. I'm not making any promises on that. I hope to be able to publish that when you go to complete and publish it in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, we're just going to have to see what happens with it.
Sure.
I know a number of people, you know, not the least of which is you, are going, I want to read more, I want to read more, and trust me, so do I. I'm very fascinated to find out what happens here.
You just need to wait until Jim and Colleen and Belinda and everybody starts talking to you.
I have a very good idea of the events that lead up to Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the events that follow it are going to be that those are a total mystery to me. Where do we go beyond? Well, I'll find out shortly before y'all do. Neener, neener, neener. But that's about the most I can tell you about that one.
Well, that doesn't sound fair, but okay. It's your mind. It's your world. So we will leave you to it, but we do look forward to reading it. And you may find that Legacy, the short, is the end of the story. You never know if they end up talking to you. Yeah.
That's altogether possible. I mean, I can't even begin to guess, you know, and it's, you know, it was... you know, without giving away spoilers, I mean, I know many of the elements of the story, and, you know, they are going to necessarily be really heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to that.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of your stories are tremendously emotional.
Well,
so,
you know, I've lived in a world where I saw a lot of tragedy, and, you know, let's face it, I mean, you know, if you want to go to Disney World, well, that's over in Orlando, but the real world is out here, and it's not always a happy place.
No. No, no. And I don't live that far from Orlando, so I can tell you, you know, it is a happy place, but you still have to get there, and getting there...
We unfortunately had some really unhappy events there not very long ago. That was...
That's true.
Hear about that. God, I can't imagine.
No, I can't either.
Anyway.
But, yeah. So, which did you think of first, Blind Date or Punishment? Those are two more of your standalones on Amazon. They're still, I believe, 99 cents, and they're both wonderful stories.
Blind Date was up there and published before I ever even thought of Punishment. All of a sudden, Punishment sprung up in my mind one day, and 2 days later it was written.
Hmm.
And mm-hmm. You know, really, 2 days after that, it was published.
Yeah, you do that. You do these surprise, I've got a book out.
Yeah.
Leaves us scrambling.
You know, it's you try very hard to stay current, you know, and, you know, it's a greater challenge to indies, I think. That, you know, we have to keep fresh stuff out there, or, you know, because there's so many of us out there. If you don't keep something fresh out there, you're forgotten next week.
Oh, absolutely. But you're so spontaneous, you know. You're like, hey, I had coffee today. Oh, and I have a book out.
it's not like, you know, I can be... Yeah, I saw an advertisement here at the airport a few years ago. There, you know... You know, would you like your company name to be a household word or a verb?
Hmm.
And you think about it, I Xeroxed it. I Googled it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are brand names, but we use them for verbs.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully somebody can say, hey, you know, someday, you know, I mean, I think it's my dream that someday can say, hey, man, he Lucas Black that one. So, we'll have to see what the future brings. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the crystal ball has been very cloudy about what to expect moving forward.
Well, and maybe that's best.
Yes,
maybe that is for the
life,
best.
I guess.
But you do have a loyal group of followers who have found you and found that your writing style is, it draws you in. I know I say that in reviews, but truly it does. It's you have such an easy style when you write things. It's what did someone say? They called it wittily non-literary, something to that effect. So you feel like you're experiencing it. You feel like you're just sitting in a chair and you're listening to Mark or Jim or Josiah explaining this is how things are. So this is what's happening. This is my mindset right now. So it's very easy to read you.
And, well, you know, the fans have been a complete and total delight. And thank you to all of you out there who are my fans and who keep me so encouraged to keep going at this, you know, because it's something I love doing, but that doesn't mean it isn't a difficult endeavor. I mean, I was a paramedic for a long time. Again, it was something I loved doing, but it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, fortunately, you know, I mean, nobody's going to shoot at me or puke on me here, or at least I hope
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that makes me think of your vomit story, but I won't ask you to relate that now. No.
Prettiest vomit I ever saw.
Yeah, Pepto-Bismol. They will just have to join your fan group, and then they'll be privy to all that information. So,
yep.
All right. So where's your favorite place to work or write or brainstorm? Do you have a particular place that's that you're fond of?
Honestly, sitting at my computer is just a step of the process. I mean, I have driven, taken out of town trips and driven, hell, several months ago, I drove 5 hours somewhere, and I got there safe and I got home safe, but I don't remember much of the trip because most of my head was engaged in a story I was working on. And, sometimes when I sit down to write it, it's just kind of, like, pouring, pouring from the pitcher into a glass, so to speak. Because a lot of it's already written in my head, and, thank God I have a good memory for all of those details and can get them all sorted out.
Oh, I was at the pool one day and I had a brainstorm for an ad campaign and I had to hope that I could remember. I kept just repeating it to myself, the taglines, over and over till I could get somewhere that I could write it down. But do you ever transcribe, or I shouldn't say transcribe, do you ever use any kind of electronic device to record that, or is it something you do? You have to commit to memory and then just wait till you can write it down somewhere?
I just commit it to memory until I can fire up MS Word, and fortunately my memory hasn't failed me. Well, it has a couple of times, but I figure where it has it probably, was rightly so. If it wasn't enough to stick in my memory, maybe in a way that's a form of literary Darwinism, that it was a fit so it didn't survive.
Like if it was important enough, you would have remembered it, right?
Yes, well, it obviously wasn't sheer genius, or I would have kept it in my head, right?
Yeah, that's true. Cause I had a limerick that I woke up thinking of, and someone distracted me, so I can't remember what it was. So oh well. But
Well, old man from the end took it.
yeah. It's like okay, if I can't remember it, then it couldn't have been that memorable. So
Well,
no one else would have liked it either. So. All righty. Well, I'm going to ask because as a reader, I want to know these things. I think I know some of these, but what is your favorite food to eat? Spicy. I know it's going to be spicy.
yeah, you would think I had a Cajun daddy and a Mexican mama and grew up in Thailand and India by what I eat.
Curry, huh?
I love me some Thai food, some Indian food. I certainly love some boiled crawdaddies, and I mean, I'm a Texas fella. Guess what? I love Mexican food. We don't even think of it as ethnic. It's just what we eat.
Right.
But yeah, I figure if it doesn't bite back, it didn't worth biting in the first place.
Ah, but no chicken. I know that. No
I
chicken.
avoid yard bird like the plague.
Okay, and your favorite color?
Kind of like that old James Taylor song, "Deep Greens and Blues for the Colors I Choose."
And what is your favorite TV show? Right, at least right now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's
What's the first one that comes to mind?
honestly, probably Big Bang Theory. MythBusters has gone away, and God knows I love MythBusters, but I totally love the absurdity of Big Bang Theory, and I'm a big fan of absurdity, and just that craziness that they put on screen up there. Jim Parsons, who's plays the role of Sheldon, is from the Houston area originally, and a buddy of mine actually knew him back when he was a nobody at Stages Repertory Theater in Houston. And it's funny now and again, you'll hearing him, make references back to East Texas, although he doesn't always get it right. And in some ways that's fun to me too. He'd made some reference to Baybrook Mall in Galveston, Texas. Well, I've been to Baybrook Mall many a time, and I can guarantee you it's not on Galveston Island. Plus, I mean, who of us in the kink community didn't get a total kick out of the episode where he spanked Amy Farrah Fowler? Oh my God. I was dying.
I
So,
You know, I have to say, you've told me this before, and I do. I need to watch Big Bang Theory because I don't watch much TV, actually. I only have a few
it is a
shows.
great deal of hilarity, and a lot of nerd comedy, and I guess in some ways I think I'm a nerd, or at least a geek of some sort, and the show just totally appeals to me in all ways. Completely and totally love it.
Now, you are a dichotomy. I have to say that because you will say that you will call yourself a redneck savant, but yes, I can see the nerd. So, which I kind of I didn't want to accept that I was a nerd for a very long time, but my friend Tom asked me a series of questions, which I answered yes, and he said, "Up, oh, nerd." So there you go.
Honestly, everybody I've ever liked is gonna be a nerd or a geek about something.
Yeah.
It just, I think we all get our little areas of interest and geek out on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do a bit of woodworking, not as much now as I used to do, but I can totally geek out about exotic hardwoods of all the weird ass
Oh.
things. I mean, look at, Tom Hanks and his antique typewriters. That stuff bores me half to death, but hey, that's what he geeks out on, and more power to him.
Yep. Whatever floats your boat. My father used to hunt and peck on an old Royal TV, old TV, old old typewriter.
Yeah.
Okay, tequila's taking effect here.
They're called typewriters,
So,
you young whippersnapper.
yep, I remember. But anyway, yeah, he used to hunt and peck there. But I can type a little bit better than he could. But still, yeah, we all have our little peccadilloes and things that interest us. So, yeah. But anyway, well, did you want to talk about Punishment, the very last release that you had? A little bit, maybe what prompted you?
It just, I think, one of the elements from Josiah kind of inspired it. We've got a master and a sub in a long distance relationship. They're able to see each other now and again, but she's got her career, he has his, and I won't say ne'er the twain shall meet, but they're able to get together only very seldom. Well, the woman in it, Evelyn, makes a boo-boo. And he tells her, obviously I can't come over there and punish you directly, so you're going to hire a dominatrix, and or I found this dominatrix for you, and she's going to carry out my orders and get you back on the straight and narrow. But there is, of course, a little twist in it. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to read, spank fuck, spank fuck, spank fuck, and nothing else. Well, that's, So, you've always got to put your little twists and turns in it, or it's just like, otherwise you just start feeling like you wrote the same story every time and just changed the names, and that's.
Sure. Well, there are several twists in Punishment, and I try very hard when I review a book to not give away spoilers. I try to generalize things. You know, it detracts from the next person. It's one thing to write a blurb from an author, or read a blurb from an author, I should say, but it's entirely different to read a review where, A does B and then C happens, and you're like, well, darn, why am I going to read this book? But I
Right.
have found all of your books to be well worth reading.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, you just, I'm not going to give away spoilers or too much in the way of spoilers, but there's a lot of interesting stuff in the works. including one about a woman who arrives in Georgia Colony from London in about 1782 into indentured servitude.
You're writing a period piece?
I am.
Wow.
But keep that a secret. Don't tell anybody out there.
Oh no, that'll just between you be between you and me and the tequila here and whoever's listening. No, I'm fascinated. This is the first I've heard of this. So
It's the first I've spoken of it, so you're
I am honored. I am honored. It's the tequila talking for you too.
My PA knows about it, obviously, but
Ah, yeah.
obviously I've got to keep her in the loop on what's coming and whatnot,
Oh, sure.
but yeah, it just of course I have my own little twist in there too, and I've got other stuff bubbling on various burners. I've got one I'm doing about a woman, a hard charging lieutenant in her local sheriff's department who gets a crush on a guy, and she knows he's a dom, and she knows herself well enough to know she's a sub, and she's scared to death of approaching him, and finally approaches him in a restaurant and just leaves an envelope with him and scampers out the door, and pretty much goes full Sadie Hawkins and is offering her surrender to him while she's on vacation, wanting to see where it goes for the two of them.
Oh, now see, I like the Sadie Hawkins
And
idea.
just looking at him, you think he's your ordinary average guy. I mean, he's a contractor who builds houses for a living, and she's relatively young for her position in the sheriff's department, but obviously bright and a hard charger there. And seeing where it goes with the two of them. There's another one working up where a man who is a widower, with a 7-year-old son, his little best friend, he wants his little best friend to spend the weekend with him, and his recently divorced mother brings a boy over, and the two of them get to courting and sparking, and he finally points her to his dungeon so she knows what he's about.
What a nice phrase, courting and sparking.
Yeah, I am a Southern man, and a whole hell of a lot of what that would seem to imply.
Yeah, no, it's charming.
But yeah, like I said, there's a whole lot bubbling on a number of burners here, and we're just right now I haven't been writing as much lately as I would like, because I've been just really working my tail off to get Josiah, volumes 3, 4, and 5 out there in Indy All's hands. But I think there's a lot more ink that's going to pour out of my pen here over the coming year or two.
Now you said that you have four in the hands of the betas. So have you written five? Are you allowed to talk about that
I've
or?
got about, and I'm pretty sure how it's going to end, although the muses play by their own rules, so who the hell knows? But
Sure.
I'm pretty sure I know how five is going to end. I think I can do it in probably about another 15 to 20,000 words. And that's just going to take 3 or 4 days of me really hammering like hell at my keyboard.
Now, do you experience like a crash afterwards? Because I recently have written my very first short. Only a short and like 15,000 words, and I crashed really, really hard. Do you experience that same feeling like Josiah and
I'm not sure how it's going to be when I finish Josiah. I've never written anything, that big before. So that's going to be a great unknown. When I finish the shorts, usually there's a little bit of sadness because, you know, I mean, they are my brain children. And I'm about to kick them out of their nest, out into the world to go earn their keep. I mean, it's a little bit sad to say goodbye to them, but at the same time, I've got to make room for other stuff.
True.
And, you know, there's a lot of time, you know, I'll finish a story and I might need a day or two where I'm not even thinking about writing just to move past it and tackle something new, you know. How long will that refractory period be following Josiah? The answer is I have no earthly idea. I suspect it's not going to be very long. Because, again, there are a lot of other works in progress clamoring for my attention. And I think I'll probably, you know, embark on those other projects pretty soon after I'm done with that.
Well, as a reader, there is I read a book by Elaine Barris, and I went through a crash where I had to read light and kind of flivvers. Okay, too much tequila. I had to read things that were light and not too heavy because it was very, very heavy what she wrote. And so I'm wondering if it's the same way with the characters once you finish, if you just need some downtime to kind of cleanse your palate, I guess, maybe.
It's maybe. You know, as a reader, I can tell you it took me a long time before I was ready to read the final installment of Stephen King's Dark Tower series. Because as a reader, I wasn't ready to say goodbye to Roland, Eddie, Susanna, Jake. And I needed some time to brace myself to say goodbye to them. You know, because that was, you know, really his magnum opus.
Sure. I
So,
suspect, well, I think there's going to be a lot of readers out there that are going to feel the same way about Josiah.
yeah, and you know, there comes that point where you know, it has to end and the show must go on. I mean, I was. You know, I still get very sad when I watch the final episode of MASH. I loved that show. I mean, hell, I think I've seen every episode of it probably an easy dozen times. But, you know, there does come that point, you know, where it's time to close the curtains and say goodbye, and I think, you know, with the Josiah saga, we're coming to that point. It'll be time to close the curtains and say goodbye. I mean, will I revisit them? Quite
Fingers
possibly. I
crossed.
mean, I will say that various characters from one book appear in other books here and there.
I was going to say crossover. Crossover is
But
always a possibility, yeah.
you know, because Josiah and Molly appear as a cameo in one book, you know, doesn't mean I'm doing anything else with their story. They're just a cameo there for continuity, or in the case of one story that comes immediately to mind, I needed a physician, you know, for somebody, so here for
Why
Molly.
not? Yeah,
Molly
bring
steps
Molly
up.
into it. Yeah. Well, you know, and from a reader's perspective, I just love that. I love that. It's like an inside, not an inside joke, but it's like you're privy to something special. You get something that maybe not all the readers understand.
Yeah, and
You look at it and go, "Aha! Oh my gosh, that's amazing because I read the whole series, and I know what he's talking about." So yeah, it becomes special.
precisely.
Yep. Alrighty, well, I have kept you almost 45 minutes, and
Really?
I sincerely appreciate that you took this time to chat with
I'm
us.
glad we finally got around to it. For the record, Tammy has been very patient with me throughout all of this. I came down with a nasty cold, and I had a voice about like that for the longest while, where I just sounded like a bullfrog croaking his last croak there for a while. So she's been very patient as I was getting on the backside of these allergies that were whipping my ass. And so thank you very much for your patience, and thank you very much for this evening, Tammy.
Sure, I enjoyed it immensely. Now, I do have some sort of like round table going on, so at some point in the future, because I didn't get around to asking you about the advantages and the disadvantages of being a male erotica author, I see it as an advantage. I think of it as an advantage, and not to cast aspersions on any female authors out there, but there's I don't know, there's a slight difference when you're getting it from a male perspective, and I seem to be concentrating. I am drifting in that direction, so I'm reading a lot of male authors who bring a distinct flavor to erotica. So I'll just ask you very quickly, what do you think of, just a quick answer, advantages but also disadvantages of being male in a predominantly female
Well,
genre?
I think, by the very fact that I am male, I am in a distinct minority, and that garners a certain amount of attention. I think, necessarily, I mean, whether you want to call it the Mars and Venus thing or whatever, but men and women are going to tell their stories from a different aspect through a different set of eyes. I mean, I can read. I'm trying to think how to put this. When I took driver's education in high school, they gave us a textbook. They gave us the state handbook about driving a car and everything. I could read all of that until cows laid eggs. And none of that substituted for 2 minutes behind the wheel of a car with that car strapped to my ass and the rubber on the road. And
Absolutely, yeah.
unfortunately, I don't think a woman can understand, for instance, a male orgasm, and I don't think a man can really understand a female orgasm. I mean, a man can't understand a woman's monthly period, and a woman can't understand what it feels like to get kicked in the nuts.
Yes, well put.
I mean, and I know that sounds crude and pretty tacky,
No, no, I understand. I
I
understand
think,
completely.
because of that, I do write from a different viewpoint than a female writer. And that's not casting aspersions on the female, or their female writers. A number of them just write some brilliant stuff. R.B. O'Brien, for instance, writes some amazing fiction. She's got two series going, the Rose and Thorn series, which are incredible. She just published her second novel in that series, and I fell onto that book like a fat kid on an apple pie. And she's just released two volumes of a new series called Imogen, which are also really amazing. I mean, and it hits on, I love dystopian fiction, and this is totally dystopian. And, about a woman who is captured and enslaved as the spoils of war. And I've just eaten that book up in job lots. I've
I think.
recently started Lila Noir's first debut, full-length debut novel, Unorthodox Therapy, and I'm loving that one. You know, that they're, you know, but again, I couldn't write what she writes, and I don't think that those ladies could write what I write.
Right, you each have your own voice.
It doesn't mean better or worse. It just means different, and that's all it means. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, I love French fries and I love tortilla chips, but they ain't the same thing, and you really can't even really compare them.
Nope, absolutely. Like a steak and crab cakes.
Yeah,
they're,
precisely. Both very good, but both highly unique from one from the other.
Different flavors. You need that. You need to be able have that.
I mean, as to other male writers, you know, I've got a to-be-read pile that's about as high as I am tall. You know, one series that I really fell into and loved is Aiden Dark's Slave of Rome series. And, you know, they're all, I think he's about to release volume 6 of it, I think, is the one that's upcoming. And, but they are really an amazing mind ride. It's all about a woman's daydream about being a slave to a Roman senator.
Hmm.
And they have just been amazing to read. And I have just, again, just gobbled them up, loving them. And I'm just really looking forward to more installments of that series.
Well, I think Stephen King said to be a prolific writer, you have to be a prolific reader. So yeah, and I think, you know, you've just dispersed your redneck nomenclature here. You, no one is ever going to say that. So they, now they know you a little bit better.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, you know, because I love to read. You know, I have been, you know, my God, it, you know, back, you know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, it wasn't a big deal for me to walk into Walden Books on payday and drop $100.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking back in the days when paper books were $3.95, $4.95 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a big deal to go into Walden, you know. Speaking of dating myself, and, you know, and have all of that read before my next payday 2 weeks later.
Oh, I know that feeling.
And,
yeah.
You know, frankly, this day and age of e-books and Kindle, in some ways, is even more dangerous. The books got cheaper, but they got a hell of a lot easier to get at me. At least Walden Books, I had to ask myself to go down to the mall. I don't even have to do that to get an e-book.
That's true.
Amazon.com, and I'm...
Yep, and you're clicking away. I know the feeling.
Someday, 30 years from now, people will be looking at a crazy homeless man in a gutter going, yeah, he's homeless, but he's got the most amazing Kindle library you ever saw.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm working on my 7th Kindle because I keep running out of room. This one's got 128.
I got my very first Kindle this past Christmas as a Christmas present. Until then, I was reading ebooks, but I was reading them on the Kindle app they have for PC.
Right.
And you know, that was probably safer, but at the same time, I have found out that I do a lot better if I take my Kindle with me to a restaurant somewhere and get the hell out of the house for a couple of hours where I'm away from my computer, because if I'm sitting here trying to read my manuscripts, keep yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
And they get very jealous for my attention. And if I'm off at a diner somewhere, well, I don't have my computer with me, so the manuscript shut the fuck up and I can read.
Right. Right. You know, I worked for a textbook company, Harcourt Brace Jovanovich, HBJ, and Holt Reinhardt and Winston, and I loved it. You know, we had ISBNs. I worked primarily in the school division, K through 12, although we did do we did textbooks for medical and also for college. But I would have sworn, and I even said this in meetings, that that electronics would never ever take over the feel of a real book. But I find myself being able to tote around, you know, 100 books, 200 books at a time,
yeah,
on a Kindle, and I have found that that it's wonderful to be able to just read. You know, if we go somewhere, I can read all night, mm-hmm, because I can I can duck under covers and no one knows that I'm reading. You know,
yeah,
I'll mute the light. So yeah, I have, mm-hmm, become addicted to a Kindle. Doesn't have the same feel as you know, reading a book, and I still love the smell, the tactile, but yeah.
Yeah, because I am a traditionalist, I mean, my full-length novels will probably all be released in paperback. You know, Josiah 1 and 2 have certainly been out in paperback. Josiah 3, 4, and 5 will be.
Mm-hmm.
I will very possibly put collections of the short stories, collection 7, 8, 10 short stories, into paperback.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I'm not going to, put out, you know, 40-page short stories in paperback. That would just be, I don't think, you know, time-effective or cost-effective. But, because I still like paper books. You know, I'm an older fella, and, you know, let's face it, these e-books are kind of newfangled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've described myself before as, you know, pretty much of a low-tech Amish pervert, you know, that, you know, I still don't really trust the wheel or those newfangled automatic transmissions in cars.
Oh, come on now. We're 10 months apart, so I understand completely where you're coming from. But yeah. I love the feel, the smell, the texture of old books. So I have an old set of Casanova books. I have a book from the Titanic that was written in, I believe, was it 1917? I have a picture of it on my timeline. So yeah, I appreciate the old books. But
the advantages of ebooks are undeniable, to be sure, but you know, there is just a certain romanticism, I think, to having a paper book in your hands. So mm-hmm, I figure, well, I'll offer both, and then, you know, people can pick and choose as they please.
Sure. It's like surf and turf. You can have both.
You know, whether they want paper or electronic, or even in some cases both. You know, I mean, there's, you know, I will say for me, I publish a Kindle book, and that's all well and fine, but when I get that paper book in my hands, that proof copy, that's when it really, to me at least, feels real.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, where will the industry be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years up the road? The answer is I have no earthly idea. And I really strongly suspect that paper books they'll fight tooth and nail every inch of the way. But I think by the time I go into my grave, paper books will have long since been in their grave.
Not so sure.
We'll see what the future brings.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm looking at my shelf. I can take a picture, but I won't. But I have Josiah's Love and Justice, number one up there, volume one up there. I am waiting patiently for volume two.
It's on its way.
And then volume three as soon as it's available. So, yeah, you do release the the soft cover copies. And again, that's something I'll be linking all of your stalking links
for
people.
Much.
Sure, so they can follow you because you are well worth following, and we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. So I thank you very much.
All right, well, thank you too, Tammy, and hope you have a good rest of your evening. I think I'm about to take my old self to bed here.
Yep, that's it. It's been an experience, and hopefully people have learned some things about you. And definitely, I would highly suggest, especially with Josiah Love and Justice 3 coming out very soon, that people take a good look and grab 1 and 2 so they catch up. So they'll be ready for 3 when it comes out. So
mm-hmm.
It's an amazing series. And we certainly do appreciate that you joined us tonight.
Okay, well, thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Lucas. And you have a good evening.
All right, good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.